Hello, in this podcast I'm going to cover the colour of comets. If someone stopped you in the street without any preparation and said, what colour are comets? You'd probably say white or silvery. Then you've had a bit more time to think. You'd think back, perhaps, if you'd seen them through a telescope. If you saw them through a telescope, you'd say grey or bluish colour. Or if you had the time to check on your mobile phone, you'd have a few looks and say, oh, the head of them is green and they've got a blue tail and white and stuff like this. And there's a lot going in comets, and in fact all those answers would be correct. So this is Peter Hill Explains, where I explain things scientific or delve into some of the science behind some of the phenomena that you encounter every day. I've been doing a series of comments on comets, mostly inspired from a book I read about comets. And so it started off, when I first read the book, they had a method of naming comets. And that was a bit unusual. It was constructed and it was a feat of human engineering. You can go back and listen to that. And then there's a bit of a sleepy section where they actually went through and described each great comet one after another. And so it would go through the same sequence. It was discovered by so-and-so. It was there. Everyone thought it was fantastic. Then it faded. Here comes the next comet, essentially the same. Then it went into a bloopers section where, for some reason, a comet is such a huge sign on the sort of big screen, the ancient big screen, which is our sky. It was a big cartoon appearing suddenly in there, which appeared for a short time, didn't obey any particular rules, and then disappeared. And so this led to scientific bloopers all the way through. So there's interest there. Then when I read the book, I realised that, there's whole features there, the actual anatomy of a comet and the actual structure is not explained. So I set off on a series of podcasts explaining the basic structure of a comet. That's a nucleus, coma, shockwave, dust tail, iron tail, anti-tail. They're the actual structure features of a comet. And then a podcast of that, I began to discuss shock waves. And this is different speeds, the coma being shaped by interaction with the solar wind. And not just being a shock wave of two things of different velocities, but a shock wave of the actual particles themselves bursting apart when they're shocked and becoming a large cross-section. So they can sort of weave all their way to the front line and then suddenly expand in size when their electrons are pulled out to a large orbit. They become a large cross-section. So we discussed that. And then I said, by the way, you should also know that our solar system is awash with these spiraling shock waves of fast and slow solar wind, and that the shock waves originate from the solar wind, and the solar wind originates from the dynamics of the sun. So I'm just trying to give you some sort of depth to go into it here. In this particular one, I'm going to cover the different colours of the comets that you see. And for me, the most exciting thing is to see a green comet. Because the green coma of a comet. So if you go on to Google and look at comets, you'll see a lot of them. I think Lovejoy, all of them as they're coming in to the sun, go this incredible green in the coma, which is the atmosphere of the comet. So the coma starts, is fed by the nucleus evaporating and streams going ahead. It's actually quite fascinating to see these streams. This has been resolved at high speed over a long time. These streams gushing out, sort of like someone watering a garden or watering the coma. Then this fills an atmosphere of the comet as it heats up, and this is bounded by a bow shockwave of the comet, and this actually has several shockwaves as you dissect it. There's a sort of a speed into a shockwave, into the shockwave region as well from the inside of the comet. And in this shockwave, a lot of the chemistry occurs because you suddenly have radicals and things pop up in sequences of excitation. So one atom will, say an ion will excite a molecule, and then that excited molecule will then get hit by a photon. Now, what's sort of exciting is the green colour. The green colour is C2, carbon dimers. And carbon dimers, so I'm told, I haven't actually observed this, but if you have a gas of carbon dimers, and you hit it with ultraviolet light, it will fluoresce, pretty much like black lights in a disco. If you've got carbon dimers, they'll appear to glow, like glow in the dark. And in fact, this is truly glow in the dark. It's not fluorescence. It's as we know, this is UV photon will go in, hit the C2 in a ground state, and expand. And as it relaxes, it will go radiate several bands of radiation, and one of the bands will be this green transition. So you have to look at the molecular physics for it. So C2, very interesting. So how do you get C2? Is C2 emitted directly by the comet? Perhaps not. What probably happens is that you have ethane and other complex carbon molecules go at them, and bit by bit, UV light snips the hydrogen off, one hydrogen off, and eventually it snips everything off, leaving you the actual backbone of C2. And C2 itself is a very exciting diamond because as a dimer in a gas discharge, if you create a gas discharge of C2, a helium discharge with carbon inside it, the C2 will undergo a certain things called robionic cooling due to auto-ionization. These are a whole heap of terms, but the bottom line is that it will actually, its rotation will freeze, and it will self-assemble into buckyballs. These are the 60-sided soccer balls and other complex things, as graphene, and all this. C2 is this fantastic molecule, but up in space everything's obviously not that dense, and you don't have a high plasma and stuff like that. But the C2 itself is the coma gas going up to the surface, cooking, being cut down, and forming this green glow. Now, this is very interesting, and when I say a green glow, it's ultra. It fluoresces under UV light. This is glow in the dark, so you can actually have, if you have a highlighter pen and you draw a comet on a blackboard or on a black surface on bricks and stuff like that, and it's shining the UV light, you've got very, very close to what the actual light of a comet is. So you've got the green glow. Now, if it's got a sort of a cyan or a bluish glow into it, a blue glow in that green, it's still green with a bit of blue, the end result is that a CN, a cyanide, HCN is hydrogen cyanide. And so this is another thing. But in general, you get fairly pure greens or green with a glow in the outside of it. So you would think that these ions, this gas, would then be swept into the ion tail. And therefore, the tail would be green as well. But the ion tail, which it's hard to understand this. There's this belief, and people with a very straight face say that the magnetic field lines of the sun can be bent and reformed, and by interaction with the comet, these magnetic field lines can be bent, snapped off, or bent and reshaped, and funneled by the solar wind into the iron tail. So you've got the comet going along its orbit, the dust tail, the dust gets formulated into its dust inside the coma. So you get two sorts of tail. One is a fat tail from the entire dust inside the coma shell going forward, and you get a thinner tail from a jet stream from the nucleus itself coming out, and that forms wisps like the dust tail. And that dust tail is got the orbital velocity of the nucleus, adding or subtracting a small amount of interaction, which in the case of it coming into the sun, it slows down its orbit, so it stretches out, or going away from the sun, it gets a bit of extra kick and goes ahead in advance. So really interestingly, that once it's past the sun, the comet is traveling in the opposite direction of its head. It's actually traveling into its tail. Its tail has been blown away. The iron tail, which is the bluish hue, it's always blue, stretches directly away from the sun, and that's the direction of the of the solar wind. And what it does is it forms a trapped sort of bottle in which the ions, or the gas and ions, are swept up. The gas inside that is carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide has got this blue, eerie glow, and apparently the glow is not due to iron excitation, which one would think this is correct, because the ions from the sun are pretty high energy. So in general, they would either ionize something completely if they had an impact, or it wouldn't be a very efficient transition. You want the more gentle transition of the absorption of ultraviolet light. But the important thing is that this iron tail is always, if you draw a line along the iron tail, you will hit the centre of the sun. It's directed away from the centre of the sun. Now, it's obviously not following the magnetic field lines of the sun, because the magnetic field lines of the sun go from the north pole of the sun down to the south pole of the sun. So they go in a loop. But they're actually, as far as the comet is concerned, is bent and outwards. And this gets complicated because, really technically, I'll get into it on another podcast, there are really no such thing as magnetic field lines. The field lines, magnetic field lines, is an invention, a visualization of an assembly of magnetic dipoles created by Michael Faraday when he was going ahead. And that's exactly what happens here. A magnetic field line essentially is a combination of basically a description of your plasma. And the plasma has been swept along, and you have a current inside your plasma, and creation of a local magnetic field. The current in your plasma rotates around these magnetic field lines and actually creates the magnetic field lines going away. So your tail is rather interesting, because that's got carbon monoxide. So what is interesting is that in a process, you can actually get the production of carbon dimers so much that it dominates the coma, so it's the coma doesn't scatter light, doesn't have a significant amount of dust in it, but it's got more UV light in it. And then I'll have to stop this now. Are you okay?
Yeah.
I'll start this podcast again later on.